Before I forget, if you have not registered for a discussion group, you can do that tonight afterward. I do encourage you, I know that sometimes your schedules don't allow you to do that, but those of you who you do have that flexibility, it's just such a good and needed thing for us to get in those small groups and talk about what the Lord spoke to us and hear what he spoke to other people and minister one to another. I think this year is going to be really conducive to that, and it'll be a blessing for each of us that get to enjoy that. So our theme this year is life lessons. And our theme verse is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, when Paul said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." I haven't arrived yet, he said. I've learned a lot in life, a lot of major lessons, but I don't have them all down. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And this theme, the Lord has been speaking to my heart for quite a while. It's like last spring kind of started in my thoughts and haven't stopped thinking about it since then. I have a very active brain that won't shut down at times. Well, never. The simple definition for a life lesson is that those are things that we have gone through, we've learned from, but that have made a deep and positive impact in our lives. They're different from the things that we learn on a daily basis. We are constantly learning. And a lot of those things that we learn, they're very good and very needed things, but they're different than a life lesson because they may not necessarily change our thinking or change our behavior. And a life lesson will do that for us. They're things that we remember. They're significant to us. There are things that when we look back on our lives, we know before we learned that lesson, we were a different person. We thought differently, we processed differently, we behaved differently. But once we were learning that lesson and then had learned it, it really changed our way of thinking, doing, behaving, all those things. It's something that we remember. Life lessons can be learned in just about any area of life, but I think you would agree with me that the biggest and most important life lessons are spiritual lessons. And really the biggies of the spiritual lessons are going to have to do with faith and trust in our God and in the surety of his word. So to me, as I'm thinking about life lessons and the things that I have learned, no matter what they are, they all end up in faith and trust. My faith is stronger, it's increased, my trust. So it can be all these other subcategories, but it points back to faith and trust. As I said, I have thought so much about this. I have analyzed and dissected and gone over and over. Okay, what are life lessons? What are my life lessons? What have I learned? Well, I don't know. What have I learned? Well, what are the big ones? Well, what do you remember? And all of those kind of conversations that I have with myself and with the Lord. What's important? What has impacted your life? How are you different? Why are you different? What happened to you to make you different? Is that difference for the better? Yes, then that is a good, you know, all of those kind of things. I don't have anything figured out. And as Paul said, I haven't attained or I am not already perfected. I'm not even close to it. I mention this song probably every year, at least once, that I learned as a brand new Christian. The more that I know, the more I know that I don't know. We used to sing, and it's the truth. The older you get, the more you know that you don't know anything. I mean, I used to think I knew stuff, and I had an answer. Now it's like, I have no clue. I don't know. I'm learning, I'm growing, just like everybody else, and relearning, just like all of us too. I thought about, okay, so these life lessons, now we're all so different. There's not two people in this room who are exactly the same. We're all so different in the way our minds work and how we process. And some of you are thinking, you're analytical. Just let it kind of come. And, you know, I mean, we're all so different. We can be the really analytical type, and we can be the come what may, or everything in between. So I thought about this. Okay, there's different ways that we can learn a life lesson. And I thought about a baby. And I have a little great niece who's just a little love in my life right now. And she's, I think, 15 months old, maybe. So you think about a baby when they're in the crawling stage and that. So they're really learning and they're crawling, maybe, you know, lifting themselves up on furniture, walking around the furniture, letting go and walking here and there. So that age. And they're learning a lot of things, aren't they? One of their big life lessons, I mean, there's lots, but this is the example I'm going to use, is that they need to know what the word hot means. They need to learn the word, and they need to learn what it means. So depending on your personality as a mother, you can simply tell them hot, you know, or you can say hot. So, we've all, you know, if you've had children, if you've had more than one, you know that they're not the same. They're all very different. And just like us, we learn differently. So, some of those little, cute little babies, maybe you had one of these. If you did, we don't count you, really, as a mother, because you had it too easy. But the one that you would say, hot, hot, like there's a candle here, hot. And maybe you put their little hand close to the flame so they feel that heat. They feel the heat. And you say, hot, ouchie, hot, hot. And they listen and they watch. And there's no way they're going to touch that. They learn just like that. That's hot, ouchie. They're not going to do that. Okay, so then if you have more than one child or maybe you had one of these children, so that you know, this little baby, and you show them the candle, and you say, hot, hot, and you put their little hand, hot, hot. They look at you, hot. Oh, really? And they get closer, and they touch it, and they're crying and crying and crying, and they're never going to touch it again. They have learned from their own pain. That's hot. I know what hot is. I'm not going to touch it. Then you have others where you say to them, hot, hot. And then, depending on you, you say, you touch it. Oh, yowie, yowie, mommy's hot, you know. And they watch mommy cry and oh, they will never touch it. They've learned from your pain. My mommy got hurt when she touched that flame. I'm not going to touch that. That's hot. That's an owie. Look what it did to her. I've learned my lesson. That's the way we all want to learn, right? Then you have those and you say, hot. And they feel the heat and you say, hot. Touch it again. And maybe a few days later, they touch it again. They get burned. They cry. It hurts. And they touch it over and over and over again until it hurts too much. Then they learn their lesson. And there might be scars. And they might have been needed scars in their life to learn that lesson. Sadly, there are even those who simply refuse to learn. we're going to put those aside because we're going to talk about hope. Each of us learns very differently, and every area of life is really a potential lesson or a potential life lesson, and every area of life we learn differently too. It's just even that little baby who learns by mommy crying may not in another circumstance learn the same way. I can learn something from someone else's experience. I can learn from their mistake by watching them. I can learn from their sin. I can learn by having someone sin against them and the pain that that's caused them and the consequences of the sin and all of that. I can learn that, and their pain has become my pain, and I don't want that pain in my life, so I'm not going to put myself in that situation. If it's under my control, I'm not going to. So I have learned a huge lesson. Don't say that, don't do that, whatever it might be. And I can learn that way. You can learn that way in some situations of life, and it can be a major life lesson in that, by you learn from somebody else's experience. But then in another area, I can watch a circumstance, I can watch pain, I can watch sin, I can watch suffering, I can watch all of this stuff, and yet for some reason, it doesn't click. And I learn it on my own. Those tend to be the ones that I think stick with us a little bit more. So as I've had this theme on my mind for several months, everything that I hear, everything that I read, everything just kind of trickles through that kind of process for me. So as I have been reading in my morning devotions this year, I'm reading through Streams in the Desert once again. And so I want to share two life lessons from that, just to give you an example of the kind of types of life lessons. And rather than paraphrase them, because I won't get it right, I'm just going to read them quickly. Maybe you remember them if you have read through Streams. One story said, a number of years ago, I went to America with a steamship captain who was a very devoted Christian. When we were off the coast of Newfoundland, he said to me, the last time I sailed here, which was 5 weeks ago, something happened that revolutionized my entire Christian life. Life lesson, as I'm reading it. Wow, okay, what is this? I had been on the bridge for 24 hours straight when George Mueller of Bristol, England, who was a passenger on board, came to me and said, Captain, I need to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. That is impossible, I replied. Very well, Mueller responded. If the ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. For I have never missed an engagement in 57 years. Let's go down to the chart room and pray. I looked at this man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum did he escape from? I've never encountered somebody like this. Mr. Mueller, I said, do you realize how dense the fog is? No, he replied. My eye is not on the dense fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He then knelt down and prayed, one of the most simple prayers I've ever heard. When he finished, I started to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. He said, first, you do not believe God will answer. And second, I believe he has. Consequently, there is no need whatsoever for you to pray about it. As I looked at him, he said, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, open the door, and you will see the fog is gone. I got up, and indeed the fog was gone. And on that Sunday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec for his meeting. Okay, that's huge, right? Now, number one, when did George Mueller learn this big life lesson, that the living God controls every circumstance of his life. And if you've read about his life and you know the story and stories, but from his life lesson, this captain, from his, you know, watching George Mueller, hearing George Mueller, seeing this miracle, this complete answer to prayer immediately, he said it revolutionized my entire Christian life. That is a huge life lesson to be a part of, to get to learn. And then he's relaying this life lesson to this other passenger, which we've just read the story, that impacted his life and impacted our lives. Now, probably didn't produce the same faith as it did in the sea captain's life, and certainly not in George Mueller's, but see how it trickles down. Another story. A pastor was writing, "God was pleased to take my youngest child from this world under circumstances that caused me severe trials and pain. And as I returned home from the church cemetery, just having laid my little one's body in the grave, I felt a compulsion to preach to my people on the meaning of trials. I found that the verse, 'My grace is sufficient for you,' was the text of next week's Sunday school lesson, so I chose it as my master's message to the congregation as well as his message to me. Yet while trying to write the sermon, I found that in all honesty, I could not say that the words were true in my life. Therefore, I knelt down and I asked the Lord to make his grace sufficient for me. While I was pleading in this way, I opened my eyes and saw this exact verse framed and hanging on the wall. My mother had given it to me a few days before when I was still at the vacation resort where our little child had been taken from us. I had asked someone to hang it on the wall at home during my absence, but I hadn't noticed the words yet. Now as I looked up and wiped my eyes, the words met my gaze, 'My grace is sufficient for you.' The word 'is' was highlighted in bright green, while the words 'my' and 'you' were painted in yet another color. In a moment, a message flashed straight to my soul, coming as a rebuke for having prayed such a prayer as, 'Lord, make your grace sufficient for me.' His answer was almost an audible voice that said, 'How dare you ask for something that is? I cannot make my grace any more sufficient than I have already made it. Get up, believe it, and you will find it to be true in your life.' The Lord says that it in the simplest way, 'My grace is, not will be or may be, is sufficient for you.' The words 'my is in you' were from that moment indelibly written upon my heart. And thankfully, I have been trying to live in the reality of that truth from that day to the present time. The underlying lesson that came to me through this experience and that I seek to convey to others is this: never change God's facts into hopes or prayers, but simply accept them as realities, and you will find them to be as powerful as you believe them." So here we have a pastor who knows the word, who has taught the word, he's taught that verse, and yet it became a life lesson, a reality in his life under a very, very painful, very hard circumstance that he will never, ever forget. Changed his life forever. He said, it's written on my heart. It cannot be erased. That is a major life lesson that I have learned. And that he said he is trying to live in the reality of that truth. So you learn the lesson, but it doesn't mean you have attained. He's trying to live in that reality. Paul said, I haven't already attained. I am not perfected. Learned a lot, and I'm trying to live in that reality of the lesson that I have learned. Each one of us has learned one, two, three, several, handfuls maybe, depending on our age, very important life lessons already. And at the same time, we're all in the process of learning. Whatever we're going through today might perhaps be a major life lesson once we get through it, and it has impacted our life in a significant way. It has increased our faith and our trust in the Lord. Then maybe tomorrow or 3 months from now or next year or 5 years, we can look back and say, that is a major life lesson in my life. It has impacted me. It has changed me in the way I think, in the way I process. So right now, we are in the process of going deeper, layer by layer, learning those lessons, or at least trying to learn, right? And again, these lessons that we learn, they are for us. Yes, they are. They impact us. They've changed our lives, just as it changed George Mueller's life. It changed this pastor's life, changed Apostle Paul's life. It just changes our lives. But they are also for other people, because you learn from them. And it may not be as big of an impact, but it has impacted me so that when I have the opportunity in whatever kind of trial that may come my way, I can hold on to that and use that in part of the process of learning to where it becomes my personal life lesson. But how would we know unless these men have shared their lives with us and their trials with us? God has made his kingdom to be a body. His bride, his church, is a body. Paul talks about that in Corinthians, where he's talking about the physical body, the eye needing the hand and the hand needing the kidney, and you know, all of that, all of the parts in our physical bodies need to work together to be healthy. If they are working against each other, we have problems, we have health issues. And you know, your arm can't fly off and say, I'm going off on my own today, obviously. You know, it has to work together. So does the body of Christ. That's the way he's made us, his bride, his church. He's made us to be a body, to work together, and he's also in that made us a family, to share with one another and to work with one another, to complement one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. The older I have gotten, the more I have seen and the more I have learned the importance of sharing those things that we've learned, and to pass those on and to listen to them and to seek them out from those who have gone, who are farther along than I am in life or in their walks with the Lord. And how much more do we need to share those big, impactful life lessons? I mean, how many life lessons are sitting in this room and nobody knows about them? We haven't shared them for whatever reason. I think the Lord, this is what the Lord is doing in at least my heart, and hopefully he's going to spill out and do in us as a body. But I think in order to share those life lessons with one another so that they have a greater impact, I think we need to share how we learned them, and not just say, well, I learned this, but to share what I was thinking during that time, what I was going through, what were the circumstances, what were my struggles, what were my fears, what were my attitudes, what were my triumphs, what were my weaknesses, you know, all of those things. I remember listening over the years to someone who would teach occasionally and you know, their family, like everybody else's, is a big mess. And so there's divorce and there's this and that, whatever. And you would hear that, but I never saw the impact of it. It just seemed like, oh, you just got through that without any problem. You know, until one of those things that she shared hit my family years ago, and it was like, What? People don't just skate through this stuff, but we don't share them. We don't talk about them because it requires openness and it requires transparency, right? And that's not easy, is it? For most of us, it is not easy. We have been taught, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but we've been taught since the garden to hide. Why isn't it easy? Why do we have so much problem sharing those things, those personal struggles that can help somebody else? Why is that? So my, you know, why? What's the matter? Why won't I? Why won't they? You know, some people are, it's easier for them to share than others, but I would say for the majority, it's not easy. I think a big part or a big reason is there's a fear, well, it's all fear and pride, but a fear of being misunderstood, right? Because some of us can't articulate exactly what we're going through and what we're trying to say, and then people hear what they want to hear no matter what, and then they twist it and they misunderstand, and then you're just like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything because now they think this and that's not what I meant at all. I'm this, or you know, or whatever. So there's a lot of fear of being misunderstood. There is fear of being judged. And let me tell you, when we are judged, we are misjudged 99.9% of the time. We think we know when we judge. We don't know anything. We don't know, and they don't know anything about you. So we get misjudged all the time. And when you've been misjudged, it hurts. And so it's like, there are pastors' wives I know, they won't talk to anybody about anything. It's just sad. I understand. I completely understand. But it's just sad. I mean, I just look at one in particular, I just think, You're all alone. Nobody to share your struggles with or to have somebody help you, or you're going to minister to them. But otherwise, you know, it's just a fear of being judged or misjudged or being looked down upon. That's kind of where the pride comes in, where, well, you're going to think differently of me, and you're going to think I'm not spiritual. And I want you to think that I'm spiritual. So I'm going to zip my lip and not share what's going on in my life. Fear of not looking perfect. I want to protect my reputation. So I don't share all the struggles. Because if I did, you're going to misunderstand me, misjudge me, and then there goes my reputation, right? And it may be right. I don't know. But even if some people do, then what about the 2 or 3, the 5, the 10, the 20 that I can help by doing that? You can help me by doing that. We're afraid to let other people see or know because then we're weak. People will think I'm weak. Well, Paul wasn't afraid to share his weaknesses. We saw that Sunday morning when they were on the ship and they were going to, this is it, we're all going to die, we've lost hope. This is the Apostle Paul. But what if we knew the struggles others are going through? You know, not all the details. You have to be discerning. You have to be careful of what you share and all of that. But what if we knew more than we do now? The struggles. Because otherwise, the appearance is one thing, and what's going on inside is completely different. But what if we did know that? And we knew that, and yet we're watching them putting one foot in front of the other and enduring and having faith and not giving up. So we know how hard it is, and yet, well, that ministers, right? Where you could, sometimes when you do know something and you just think I would die. I couldn't go through that. And you see this person with the pain and whatever that they're going through. I don't know about you, that really, really ministers to me. So, and you know, just watching how they're handling it and everything, even if they're not even handling it right, you know, or up to par, of whatever par might be. I think it helps. I don't know about you, but it helps me. Years ago, when I was battling my thyroid thing that I did not know I had, and it was like an 8-year stretch, it was awful, awful. Fatigue, depression, it was awful. There were days, months, I couldn't get out of the chair. I couldn't think. I couldn't drive. I couldn't grocery shop. I couldn't cook. I couldn't, years of it. I didn't know anybody at that time who had gone through everything, and I was such a mess, you don't even know what to say or whatever, you know. But I remember after getting on the right thyroid medication and kind of now I'm coming out of it and coming out of it, there was a woman in the fellowship at that time where she had gone, I found out she was going through something similar. So we got together and we were talking, which was great because, you know, but when she said to me, I couldn't park my car in between the lines. I almost started crying. Somebody else knows what it's like to not be able to park your car in between the lines. I couldn't take a left-hand turn. Your brain won't, you just can't. And so I almost closed my eyes and just prayed, Lord, it's time for me to go, but I'm going. I don't know if a car is there or not. But just to know, just that knowledge that she knew, it would have been really helpful, you know, 5 years prior, but we weren't connected at that time. You know what I mean? So just that little bit of knowledge really helped me, helped her too. You know, just like, okay, then I'm not crazy. No, it's your thyroid. Your brain's not working. Okay. It's just nice. Another book that, devotional book that I had been reading, I just finished it a little bit ago, was by Edith Schaefer. And she brought out something about the Apostle Paul that I thought was very helpful in the context of what we're talking about. She said, Paul did not hide his difficulties, but rather said in 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. She went on to say, if Paul was under pressure far beyond his ability to endure, why then are we so loath to mention pressures, whatever sort they may be? I thought, yeah. Yeah, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how I was struggling, what I went through, what was going on at that time. Paul revealed more of his life. I'm going to read quickly out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He said that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And further, as he was talking to the Corinthians in chapter 11, he said in chapter 11, verse 23, he said, in comparison to others, so I'm taking this out of the context of the chapter, but just so that it reveals Paul's life and his struggles. In labors, he had labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often from the Jews. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So he has revealed that in his life, he has been hard pressed on every side. Perplexed. He didn't get it. Couldn't figure it out. Persecuted. Struck down. Perils. Weariness. Toil. Sleeplessness. Hunger. Thirst. Cold. Nakedness. He went through every single one of those things. And he let us know. Each one of those things can produce anxiety, depression, hopelessness, anger, frustration, bitterness, resentment, on and on and on and on. He's the Apostle Paul, but he's not exempt. He's a human. He has a brain. He has emotions. He has feelings. He has a physical body that gets tired. All of those things. He went through all the struggles, told us about them. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure it, so that we despaired of life itself. Somehow Paul thought these Corinthians needed to know these things so that he could minister to them. This is what I went through. So don't put me on a pedestal. I know you've gone through things. I've gone through these things. And then the ministry can be more effective. So it was probably helpful for them, helpful for him to be able to share those things. So in this context of life lessons for us, and in order to share a life lesson from the Word and from what God has done, we need to share that from our lives too, what we've gone through and those things we've seen from Paul. Now I want to take a little pause and do a demonstration on this to bring it into reality for us. Something that might not be easy for us to do, or maybe even easy for us to know and watch. But we're going to get tough and we're going to do it anyway. So, there's several of us that are going to do this. So, I'm going to sit down and we're going to begin. current struggles. But, number one, can you read it? Read it as they turn the sign, please, out loud so we can hear you. Amen. Thank you, ladies. So these are current struggles, some struggles for years and years and years. Women who love the Lord and are trying to walk with Him, to be obedient to Him, but women who are just like the rest of you. So, if you're brave, how many of you are struggling with one or more of these things on these signs? Yeah. Now, these struggles can come from external circumstances. They can come from internal biology that's not working great in our brains and in our bodies. Struggles can come from so many different things. They can come from an unfaithful spouse. They can come from a divorce in a family. They can come from health issues, chronic pain, or illness, a diagnosis, chemical imbalance, family dysfunction, prodigal children, rebellious children, bipolar children, siblings, parents, other mental instabilities, caring for elderly parents, caring for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's or who is a quadriplegic, can come from severed relationships in our families or in our lives, can come from struggles with people that we love that are addicted to drugs or alcohol or you name it. It can be from buried childhood problems, wounds that haven't healed correctly. On and on and on, these struggles. We're human. We live in a very broken and a very fallen world. And there is not, as I said earlier, a family that functions quite the way that it should. And we don't want you to be uninformed, sisters, about the troubles that we face. Our lives are to be a living epistle, known and read for all to see. Edith Schaeffer also said, "Teaching takes place by example every minute of every day for every human being. We teach people how to treat people in devastatingly horrible ways or in biblically right ways. Pretending perfection immediately teaches falseness and rationalization of mistakes as the very first lesson taught back to the garden, Adam and Eve. What did they do when they sinned? They hid, and they tried to cover themselves so they wouldn't be exposed. Now, I'm not implying that these things are sin. Maybe some are. Probably most are not. They're just struggles that we go through, but we do tend to hide them. Now, we're not going to walk into church and say, "How are you?" "Well, I'm depressed and I'm anxious and I'm doing," you know, we're not going to do that. I realize that. We don't really want to do that. But when the time, you know, when there is that moment in your group, when you're talking with a group of women or somebody looks at you and says, "How are you?" and they like really mean it and they have a moment to hear how you are, you know, but we hide. We again, we don't want to appear less than what we think they think we are. But, you know, Paul, had he not revealed his struggles, as we've learned and through the book of Acts and we've read in Corinthians, we know, okay, he has gone through a lot, and he didn't just skate through. Had he not revealed that, we would have a completely different picture of him. And we would think, well, we can't be like that. We can't attain. Oh, I'm not the Apostle Paul. I can't do that. But he didn't hide. Didn't even think to hide. I thought about Peter and his big life lesson. Oh my. Now, he probably would have wanted to hide that one, but God didn't let him. He denied Christ right after boasting to Jesus and to the rest of the disciples that he would not deny Jesus. Ah, go to that death. The rest of you guys, I don't know about, but, you know, boy. And then what did he do? He denied him. He was exposed. He learned, through that, he learned grace in a way that we, most of us, won't ever learn. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the failure and the sin there? And then the look of the Savior to him of love and forgiveness and grace. Peter learned from that big life lesson. He learned the power of God to overcome and to walk victoriously. And had that not been revealed to us, we might think much differently of Peter, and we might think, well, we would never do such a thing, or that our sin could be forgiven like that either. Someone said, perhaps if we shared, revealed more, there might be less breakdowns. Interesting. Paul not only admitted his struggles, his weaknesses, wasn't afraid to share them. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. He boasted in his weaknesses so that the power of God would be seen. We read in Corinthians that he was pressed, but he said, but not crushed. I was getting there, but I wasn't crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. He's holding on. Struck down, but not destroyed. We could say depressed, but not doomed. Anxious, but not a full-blown panic attack, although that can happen. But we're holding on. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is a mature, godly attitude that I'm learning, and it's taken me a lot of years that I have attained at all, but I'm learning. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I am holding on to my strength, which is pride, which will be the next time I teach, will be my life lesson, pride and humility. And now I forgot what I was saying, but that's fine. That happens to me a lot. Paul had the trials, he had the struggles, but because of them, he saw the power of God in his life. Whatever George Mueller went through, to know that God controls every circumstance in his life, whatever, and this pastor that went through that, don't pray for something that is. Paul knew, okay, my weakness, this is where I see God work. Yeah, I'm weak. I will gladly admit that I am weak, because then it's God. It's all God. Paul's life gives us hope. At least it gives me hope. Confidence that God will do the same thing in my life and in yours. Now, all these struggles and all these battles in our lives and our needs, as I said, are life lessons in progress. And through them, our faith is being stirred, it's being tested, it's being stretched and strengthened so that we are a letter to be read and a testimony to be seen. Most, if not all, of my life lessons have been through my own sin, my own failure, struggles, weakness. I've learned by watching, but those aren't the ones that I can remember that have really impacted my life. So the things that I have gone through to produce those life lessons and the struggles that I have now, that God willing will be more life lessons, would I choose the way, would I have chosen or would I choose the way that I had to learn them or am learning them? Not at all. I would much rather learn by watching, but apparently I'm not very good at that, so I have to go through it. But I'm trying to gain victory, and I'm learning more and more and more about my Lord and about faith and about grace and mercy. So I have not attained. Have you attained yet? I don't think so. When Peter tried to protect Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember that scene where they came to arrest Jesus, and what did Peter do? He pulled out his sword, and he's just going to, you know, a one-man army to protect Jesus. He meant well, but what Jesus said to him at that time, he looked at him, he said, "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" That was a text that I read months ago in a devotional, and it said, this is faith at its highest and spiritual success at its crowning point. If you have surrendered yourself to Christ, your present circumstances that seem to be pressing so hard against you are the perfect tool in the Father's hand to chisel you into shape for eternity. So trust him and never push away the instrument he is using, or you will miss the result of his work in your life. I read that one morning, underlined that, and I wrote in my journal, "Father, so often I try to push away the instrument you are using, because I don't like it. It hurts. I have had enough. But you know best. You know how hard and painful these circumstances are, and how I go up and down, back and forth with accepting, surrendering, and then pushing away. Help me see through eyes of faith, and help me not only to accept, but to embrace and to trust and rest in you. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Because it's my next life lesson, so that I learn this lesson that will impact me for the rest of my life. Through every struggle, every hard and painful lesson that I have learned, and I am sure that if you're sitting here tonight, that you have gone through, that you have learned, you and I have had an anchor that has held on and kept us from drifting away and being swallowed up, and that is the Word of God. What would we do without the Word of God, without the truth and the power of the Word of God? Our relationship with the Lord Yes, absolutely. But what is our relationship with the Lord without His Word, which reveals who He is to us, which gives us promises and instruction, and it reveals His heart of love to us. It's His Word. His Word is an anchor. His Word is a compass. Gives me promises to cling to. Spurgeon said, "What is a sailor without his compass? And what is the Christian without the Bible?" This is the unerring chart, the map in which every shoal is described, and all the channels from the quicksands of destruction to the harbor of salvation mapped and marked by one who knows the way. Our anchor and our compass. And if we are not anchored to the Word of God, we will get swept away, and we won't learn those lessons that we need to learn. Every single person in this world has themselves tethered to something. Is it the Word of God, or is it a relationship? Is it the Word of God, or is it money? Is it the Word of God, or is it security in something or someone? Or is it power, position, or is it the universe and the mystical cosmos gobbledygook that so many people are holding on to, and it's just, they're just going to get swallowed up because it's unstable. Only the Word of God is stable and sure. When the hard thing hits, if you're not anchored to the Word of God, you're going to get tossed around and you're going to get sucked up and swallowed and drowned eventually. Every trial that I have been in and every trial that I am in now, I'm anchored to this book. It's my sanity. I've said that so many times. It's my foundation. It's my anchor. It's my compass. It's everything. I'm anchored to God, to His Word, and I get tossed around. I get tossed around a lot. Woo-hoo-hoo, you know, over and over, and bash, bash, bash against a rock. Cut, cut, scrape, scrape, scrape. Swallowing water. I'm telling you, I know that I'm not the only one. There are a couple of you in here that I know. I can see you out there when I'm out there. But, and there have been times where I have wanted to let go of the anchor and go, just goodbye. But you know what? It doesn't happen. You know why? He's anchored me. It's not me. He has anchored me. He will not let me go. He will not let you go. You are anchored. If you're His child, you believe in Him and you believe His Word, you're going to get bashed up. No doubt about that. But you're not going to drift off. You're anchored on there. You're in His grip. I'm in His grip. Now unto Him who is able to keep me from falling, you from falling. His Word is a compass. Shows me what I need to learn. It shows me why. I'm not a why person. I'm a why person on every single thing except, by God's grace, the things I go through. I don't ever question why. I already know why. His Word has already told me why. To make me like Jesus. That's why. And this is what it takes. Death, stripping, pain, suffering, that's all. I mean, it does. But his Word is my compass. And it brings me comfort, brings me steadfastness, it brings me strength and power. So this year, as we have our teachings every other Wednesday, we'll get you a schedule in your groups next week. So we meet here tonight. Next Wednesday's in a group. The next Wednesday is in here. Then we're just going to do that. So as I teach, and this year, a few other women are going to come in, and they will teach also. We will teach from our anchor, from our compass, and the life lessons that God has taught us, but we will also share from a personal testimony and some of our struggles and some of the things that we were going through and why we thought and how did we get to this place and when did the light go on and how, you know, all of that. Struggles, victory, His mercy, His grace, so that we can learn from one another. And hopefully in your groups this year, you will be doing the same as we will and be able to share those things in your lives so that all of our lives as a living epistle can be read and known to all so that they can see God's grace and God's power. Father, so much you have done, so much that you want to do in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would take the things that were shared and that you would sift through them in each heart, brush away those things that an individual doesn't need to remember, doesn't need to think about, and then those things that you're speaking, would you plant them deep in their hearts and in their minds, that your Holy Spirit would teach and reveal and minister to each one of us, Lord. Pray for a mighty work of your Holy Spirit in individual lives and then as us in us as a family, as sisters, and that we would share our lives with one another so that others can see your faithfulness and your mercy and your love and your grace and your power in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have us securely in your hand. We are anchored in, sealed with your Holy Spirit. Just thank you, Lord. Just continue to minister to us as we worship you.